Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you don't put truth in your brain, something in your mind worth chewing on, the devil has plenty of stuff to put in there. And if you don't have things in your heart and in your mind that you start the day off, if you don't get you a good wad of cud to go with for the day, you're in trouble.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is CUD. Now, in case you don't know what CUD is, I'm going to read you a little definition here. It's food brought up into the mouth by a ruminating animal from its first stomach to be chewed again. That makes you want to go to lunch pretty quick, doesn't it? Now, what in the world does cud and cows and regurgitating first stomachs and chewing on this stuff have to do with God or church? If you look up the word cud, it's ruminating animals. Let me read you the definition of ruminate. To go over in the mind repeatedly and often, casually or slowly. To chew repeatedly for an extended period. To chew again what has been chewed slightly and swallowed. Chew the cud. To engage in contemplation. And also it may mean ponder. What does it mean to ponder? To weigh in the mind, to think about, reflect on, to think or consider, especially quietly, soberly, and deeply. And ponder can also mean meditate, muse, ruminate, goes on. Well, let's jump down to meditate. Meditate, to focus one's thoughts on, reflect on, or ponder over, to plan or project in the mind. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a couple things today. One type of worldly meditation, which will get you in so much trouble, and biblical godly meditation, which can change your life. And hopefully the cud piece will make sense in the end. I just typed in meditation.com, just out of nowhere. I didn't even type in a search of any kind, just meditation.com to see what I'd get. And part of this site says this, a mantra, something that you would recite over and over, is a combination of sounds, of words, and of phrases which through virtue of certain rhythmic effects achieve results that would not be possible apart from them. The potency of a mantra depends upon the point in evolution of the one who employs it. Uttered by an ordinary man, it serves to stimulate the good within his bodies to protect him, and it will also prove of beneficent influence upon his environment. Uttered by an adept or initiate, its possibilities for good are infinite and far-reaching. The implication here to just pick some prayer type thing and to a certain rhythmic sound, begin to repeat it, and it'll change your world. I guarantee you it'll change your world. It'll screw your world up. Another quote off of this site. A mantra, when rightly sounded forth, creates a vacuum in matter resembling a funnel. Now let me read this again. A mantra, when rightly sounded forth, creates a vacuum in matter resembling a funnel. So you create like this satellite dish, what I was talking about, this funnel. This funnel is formed betwixt the one who sounds it forth and the one who is reached by the sound. There is then formed a direct channel of communication. Now here's my question. Who are you communicating with? See, people think, well, I've opened myself up spiritually. There's nobody out there but God. I can't go wrong if I say, God, I want to listen to you. Speak to me, and I put my dish out there, then I'm sure it's going to be God who'll speak to me. Let me tell you something. There's more than one God. There's a big G God, and there's a little G God and gods. And there is a spiritual world, but spiritual doesn't always mean godly spiritual. It can mean demonic spiritual. And I know this stuff makes people nervous. Some people say, well, I don't believe in that. I don't think about that. God is good all the time. You know, I don't want to think about anything else. There is good and there is evil. And the devil's job is to do everything in his power. You go back and look in the book of Genesis where this whole thing got screwed up. It was the serpent coming to Eve, to Adam, in that garden saying, God said this, but did he really mean that? And it's this constant attempt to get you off of the Word of God. Just something close, but not the same. Yeah, it's spirituality, but it's not Jesus. You say, well, why are you so hung up on this Jesus? Let me tell you something. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have Jack. I can't change what's in this book. And we're going to read the book today. And I'm going to give you some scripture, and we're going to look at some stuff that you can meditate on that will change your life forever in the best of ways. But this is not just about random opening of some funnel up and getting you connected with whoever you connect with. One more paragraph off this site. There are mantrams for use in healing, mantrams of protection, mantrams of discipleship, mantrams that put one in touch with the will, capital W. They don't talk about Jesus, God, anything. The will, capital W, or with the love aspect, capital L, or with the light, capital L. Mantrams that invoke the God within, capital G within. Let me tell you something. God cannot get within you unless you invite Him to do so. He is not going to kick the door of your heart down. If He lives in you, it's because you have opened your heart, your life. You have accepted the gift, even the faith, though, that you have to receive that is given by God. It is all God, but He is not in there. You say, well, I was born a Christian. You can no more be born a Christian than being born in a garage makes you a car. You say, I was born in a Christian home. It doesn't happen that way. It is a personal connection, a personal decision. So this God within thing, there is no God within me. There is no good, there is no God, there is no nothing within me worth having unless He is in me. And the only way to get Him in me is through Christ and accepting that gift of eternal life. So mantrams that invoke the God within that work with the matter of the mental plane, abstract or concrete. There are mantrams that can only be entrusted to initiates and the masters, capital M, dealing with relationships beyond our comprehension. Now let me give you a mantram, one of these that was on this site. As the title implies, this is a mantram to be used each day at 12 o'clock noon wherever you are. Noon recall, this is what it's called. And here's what it is. You recite this at noon. More radiant than the sun, purer than the snow, subtler than the ether is the self. The spirit within my heart, I am that self, that self am I. We are that self we are. It sounds like it was written by Dr. Seuss. So, now, am I making fun? You see, there's some people that take great offense at this, that we are laughing. There are people that this is all they've found. I want you to listen really close. I'm going to take you from this somewhere else, but we need to be very careful when we talk to people. And they say, well, you know, I pray these prayers every day, and I've opened myself up to the spiritual world, and I'm asking for help. And you say, well, that's garbage. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be reading the Word of God. That's what's wrong with you. You know what? They don't even know what that is, maybe. And there's so many Christians busting their chops so much, they can't even get to God. Maybe you gently need to say, you know what? Wow, I guess that's awesome that you're searching, but this God has a name. And there are prayers that He left us. You don't have to find them made by somebody else. He wrote some prayers. And there's stuff that you can pray back to Him and recite and memorize and meditate on that will really get you hooked up with this God you're looking for. You see the difference? People are genuinely searching or they wouldn't be out there doing this stuff. And to make fun of it or belittle it or crush them, I mean, it sounds bizarre to us, but it's because you may have an option. You may know what truth is and have seen the way that it can change your life, and they just don't have that yet. All right, now open your Bible to Joshua. Joshua 1, verse 1. This passage talks about after Moses died, that Joshua has been handed the mantle, basically. He's been given responsibility to lead these people. Let's just jump down here, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now the Bible here, God is speaking to Joshua, okay? It doesn't mean the principles don't apply to you. So when you read this stuff, you say, God, what were you saying to Joshua? Does this apply to me? If I'm frustrated, if I feel alone, if it's overwhelming responsibility, my life, my family, my job, can I go to this scripture? And you read this stuff and God says, be strong and of good courage. And you say, Father, help me remember to do that today. And all day long, you chew on that. Father, help me to remember to be of strong and good courage because you're with me. You're not going to leave me. And you didn't leave Joshua. You're not going to leave me. Be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I'm going to point out the mouth thing. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the truth. That's good stuff. That's worth thinking about. You sit out under a tree somewhere and go, for 45 minutes, you get nowhere. Find some truth, chew on that, ruminate that, let it go in, come back, you digest it, it comes back up, you think about it all day long, say, God, what does that mean? What does that mean for me in my mouth? Have you ever seen people that kind of talk to themselves? It's kind of explainable now. You say, oh, well, they're on their cell phone. You see people in their car, they're just going on talking to themselves. You know, like, what are they doing in there? And then you go, oh, maybe they're on a speakerphone or something. Some of them are just crazy. You know, they don't have a phone. But sometimes you pray quietly inside and you close your eyes and you're saying words. But you know what? There are times when it starts coming out of your mouth and you're not praying. There's no one around. But something happens. You go, Father, you know, thank you so much. You know, you're whispering almost to yourself. It's this kind of thing. It's in your mouth. And Father, I want to meditate. The book of the law, I don't want it to depart from my mouth, but I'm going to meditate it day and night. This word meditate, part of the meaning means to roar, to growl, to groan, to utter, to speak, to meditate, to devise, muse, imagine. Something inside you, it's a conscious thing. You're aware of it. Now let me tell you something. If you don't put truth in your brain, something in your mind worth chewing on, the devil has plenty of stuff to put in there. And if you don't have things in your heart and in your mind that you start the day off, if you don't get you a good wad of cud to go with for the day, you're in trouble. So you wake up and you say, God, how am I going to make it through today? I know some scripture. What have you got for me today? And before I forget this, let me throw it in here right now. Teachers know this, 10% of what you hear, you recall, 25% of what you read, you recall, 50% of what you study, you recall, but 100% of what you memorize or meditate on, you recall, 100%. You see, meditate and memorize are a little different. To memorize it is to get it in your head. To meditate on it is a whole nother thing. You get it inside you. You digest it. It becomes a part of your fiber, your being, who you are. The Holy Spirit can bring it back in your mind, but when you meditate, it becomes a part of your life. See, if I just said, well, I know what Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience to the things that he suffered, those are the facts of that verse. But has it been applied to my life? And when I get in trouble, do I say, Father, I know I'm suffering right now, but I also know if that's how he learned it, I'm going to learn it too. See, it's a whole nother feeling, it's a whole nother fact in my life because I understand the truth a little better than I did and I'm applying it to my situation. It's not just information. All right, Psalm chapter 1. Go to the right. Psalms, if you have Old and New Testament, it's probably right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Now, I'm recommending if you don't have anything to meditate on and you want some awesome stuff, I could in no way in one morning in a few minutes cover this ground. But these Psalms, you can almost open the Psalms and put your finger down and it's good stuff. I'm not recommending that. Pick a place and go through it. But you cannot go wrong almost. Pick one of these, wake up in the morning and say, God, I won't make it without you. What does this say? You could start right here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates when? Day and night, it's all day long. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Who is this guy? He meditates in the law of God day and night, day and night. You say, well, you're trying to get us brainwashed. Exactly. There's nothing going to wash your brain like truth. And there's nothing else worth having in your brain but truth. And if you don't think that's true, just keep thinking the way you're thinking and see where it ends up. In my opinion, there is a huge difference from powerful thinking and positive thinking. Think positively. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Positive thinking will only get you so far. The little train says, I think I can. You know, he may not make it up the hill. I think I can. I think I can. Just because you think you can doesn't mean you can. But if God tells you something, the scripture says it, and he backs it up, it'll happen. That's powerful thinking. It's based on somebody's word, on the facts that God says this is going to happen. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a fact. There's power to that. He'll back that up. Psalm 5, verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. Consider my meditations. God, look at my heart. Listen to what I'm saying, what I'm thinking about, what's going on inside of me. Psalm 19, verse 1 and following. But let's jump in just for the sake of time in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. And he goes on, what's more than fine gold? But look down in verse 14. Then he says all these things, but let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words in my mouth, things that I say, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Now, this word used here for meditation has a little bit different twist. It means meditation, resounding music. Meditation, plotting. Now, music gets entered into it. Now, let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you're going to start singing. Let me tell you something. Music is so powerful. And God gave us this amazing gift. And if we sing the way we sing, and there are voices on this planet that are mind-boggling, imagine the angels who have perfected praise, what that sounds like. If you get full, sooner or later, you're going to leak. And sometimes there is no other way to say it but through music. And somewhere from deep in your bowels, the recesses of your soul, song comes out. And you know what happens to you sometimes. You're in the shower, hopefully alone where no one can hear you, but it happens to you. But sooner or later, it's going to come out. Now I'm going to jump you over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now that makes sense so far. Okay, we can do that. Let the words of Christ dwell. And by the way, this word dwell means to dwell in one and influence him for good. It's this whole meditating thing. It gets inside of you. It lives in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All music that we sing is not directed to God. Some of the music is directed at each other. There are songs that are for no other reason but to sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs that we get in our body, you know, whatever it may be. It is well with my soul. Maybe God knows it's well in your soul, but you're reminding yourself and other people, when peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, even so it is well with my soul. That's a reminder to me when I sing it. It's a reminder to you when I sing it. To say, you know what? It's going to be okay. There are so many songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And he says, use these to teach one another, to admonish one another. So songs, this music, this meditation gets inside of you and comes out that way. All right, flip back over to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 119, and this chapter is long and it's full of this stuff. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. Down in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? You tired of living in sin? Your life screwed up? You tired of doing that? Here's how you do it. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You show me somebody who's reading this book, not just for information, but for transformation and chewing on it and digesting it and meditating on it. I'm going to show you a changed person. I'm not telling you they're going to be perfect. They'll never screw up. You get this book in you. It's going to come out of you in the way you live. Why do we spend so much time trying to teach around here the basics of the faith and teach you to pick up this Bible and learn to study it and read it and make sense of it? It's so that you not just can know more facts about God. Seminaries are filled with pagan people who know facts about God, but who don't know God and don't know how to live and have no peace, no joy, no grace, no mercy, no nothing. They can tell you what the words mean, but they have no meaning in their life. Psalm 119, 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, says, but your servant meditates on your statutes. I don't care what they say. I'm going to meditate on what God says about me. See, the problem is you got people around you. People grow up and mom and dad say, you're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. I wish you were never born. You know what? That's what they think. That's not what God thinks. So you open the book and say, God, what do you think about me? He says, you're perfect. You're holy. You're chosen. You're blameless, adopted, pure, complete. That's what I want to hear. That's the truth. You say, well, I don't feel that way. You believe it long enough. It's true. It'll become true to you. Psalm 119, 48, my hands also will I lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Psalm 119, 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. Now, I got 8 pages of notes up here, and I'm flying through them, and I had to chop some to get down to this, because I love this book. And if something I can say, something that you hear, something will create some hunger and thirst in your life and in your heart and in your mouth, literally, for the Word of God, then maybe you'll go home and read it and say, you know what, I didn't know that was in there, and it's worked. There are days I stand up here, I got these notes, I stand back here somewhere and pray, God, I don't know what you want to do, but I'm willing. And there are things that I say out here I've never thought in my life. And people think it's all written down. You just read your notes and it's all carefully crafted. I call it blender preaching. All week long, I find the scriptures, the things that go in my head, I put them in the blender and I stand up here and hit mix. And hopefully what God pours out is something that you hear from Him, not from me anyway. Now, why am I even sharing this? The Holy Spirit takes what He's already inputted in you. That's not a word, but it is now. I just said it. He's inputted it in you. He's put it in you, and then when you need it, it's right there. And it's not this weird, wacky thing. It's just you start speaking. What's in you comes out. And you say, well, you know what? I don't know if I answer all your questions and solve all your problems, but I'll tell you what Jesus did for me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. My life's been completely changed, and if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. And I'll tell you how it happened to me, and if you want it to happen to you, here's what you do. And it's that simple. It's letting God fill you and speak through you along the way. Philippians chapter 4, and let's just read verse 8. And Paul here writing to this church says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things you may have, or dwell on these things.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
What are you thinking about? The average man, I think, gets hit with a sexual thought. Is it like every 7 seconds? Isn't that the deal? I know some of you have a much higher than that, but you know, the devil's got a plan. He's working it. It's billboards, magazines. It's everywhere you go. You can't turn the TV on. You can't get anywhere. You're getting hammered. Women walking around from a man. I don't know what bothers women. I don't have time to think about that. I'm too busy trying not to think about what I'm not supposed to think about. But you're getting clobbered out there. And if the devil has a plan for men, he's got one for women too. Maybe it's other women's shoes. I don't know what you guys are doing out there. But there is plenty of garbage. There's plenty of crap out there. There's plenty of just absolute refuse that you ought to refuse and get it out of your mind. But it keeps coming. If you don't load up and eat some stuff and keep it in you, keep thinking about it and processing it and chewing on it and meditating on it, you've got nothing to fight back with. And you won't make it. You come in here and sit for a few minutes, a few hours on a Sunday and think, I'm all ready to go, my guns are loaded, I can take it for a whole week. You won't make it till Monday at lunch unless you've got your own gun loaded and you are thinking about these kind of things. Whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Go there. It'll change your life. Chew on that stuff. You see, if you're chewing on garbage, your life is going to produce garbage. You're going to end up in the wrong places, the wrong time, with the wrong people. It's going to be a mess. And you say, well, how did I get here? It comes out of your brain, your heart, your life. But that can change if you'll start chewing on some different stuff.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.